too heavy, is it? Take care of you, man. All right. Take your Bible, please, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Glad you're here tonight. Glad to have the return of visitors with us, and hope you enjoy yourself while you're here today. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This morning I preached on soul winning, and I preached on being fishermen. And I hope we'll be fishermen. Just, you ought to at least win one person to Jesus Christ. At least one. You ought to be out there and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle caught it. What he do? He give his testimony. Three times recorded in the New Testament that he gave his own personal testimony, how he got saved, how he trusted Christ as Savior. You know, if we don't do that, your friends have no hope. There are certain people that you'll talk to that I'll never get to talk to. Never. I was at the Centerville High School last week at their beautiful graduation, and really proud of our kids and that graduated. And I looked around. I'm a people looker, and I was looking at people, and I thought, you know, I probably never talked to that person, but I know that Austin Furr will be able to talk to that person, or Carly. I know that she could talk. Well, she can talk to anybody, but anyway, you know, certain people that you may have the only influence on the Lord Jesus Christ may be their only help, their only hope for heaven. And boy, let's not lose that. Let's make sure that we're out there winning them to Jesus Christ. So let's stand tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to talk to you about some wishes. Paul the Apostle, as much as I know, had seven very, very important wishes in his life. He wanted something so bad he could taste it. Have you ever wanted something that was so bad you wanted to taste it? Amen? And so 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. And when you say stripes, that means he was whooped. He was beaten. In prison, more frequent. In death, off. He said, I was close to death. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes. There's your stripes. Save one. And everybody said, why do you save one? Well, the Jewish law said you could beat a man 39 times, but if you beat him the 40th time he died, you were up for murder. But if you hit him 39 times and he died, that's his problem. Isn't that nice? Thrice was I beaten with rods. If you go with me to the Philippines, and you watch somebody get caught stealing, they will take a rod and they'll beat them with it. And beat them on their legs and their buttocks. And I'll beat them hard, really hard. I thought it was a great idea. When I was in the Philippines, I think I got two rods up in my office. I should have brought them down. And ouch. I would not want to get beat with a rod. But he got it beaten with a rod to... three times. Thrice I was shipwrecked. Once I was stoned. Thrice, and you remember what happened when he was stoned? What happened? He died. And he came back to life. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. I have done that three times. Once I was with a pastor from Midland, Michigan. Once I was with Kurt Johnson. And once with Rudy Smith last 2 weeks ago, I just about went shipwrecked. No kidding. We were riding a 22-foot sail catamaran, and the wind came up like, oh, my soul, the Aloctodon was there. Amen. And that thing came up like this. That his side came up, and my side went down, and I jumped the other side and brought that skid up like that. He said, man, preacher, you're fast as a cat. I said, I don't want to drown. Amen. Three times, he said, I suffered shipwreck. Some of y'all, you feel so bad for yourself. You got a toenail, it's got a hangnail on it, amen. Some of you feeling bad, you got chapped lips. You know, some of you upset, you got a colic. You know, some of you people feel bad because you bumped your shin on something, amen, like a trailer hitch. Oh, that hurts. And he said, I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the cities, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh unto me daily, the care of all the churches. Man, that, he says, you know what? All that other stuff okay with that, the care of the churches. Man, he drives me nuts. Amen. Now, who is weak? Am I not weak? Who is offended? I burn not. If I must need glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God of the fathers of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artachus, the king, kept the city of Damascus with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hand. Once in a while, you got to run. I think sometimes we forget that. Sometimes you got to run. You say, that ain't manly. Well, manly and dead is two different things. Sometimes you got to run. I tell men, you know, Joseph ran. He said he was a coward. No, he was smart. He said he lost his coat. Yeah, but he didn't lose his honor. And sometimes you got to run from them. Sometimes you just got to get out of there. And best thing is just, drop the clutch and punch it, amen. Just get out of there, amen. Sometimes you just got to go. And full throttle ahead, just run as fast as you can. Something that you can't get past and something that's causing you problems, just run away from it. Just go. Get away from it. It's going to hurt you spiritually. Going to hurt you spiritually. I'd run. I'd do something. I'd make sure that I stayed right with my holy God and not right with what man thinks, but right with my holy God. Sometimes you're going to do some things people aren't going to like it. Sometimes you're going to do some things that people are going to say bad things about you. You remember this. Truth always comes to the top. Listen to me now. Truth always comes to the top. It always comes to the top. You do right, even till the stars fall, do right, and you'll be all right. But you start compromising and start doing some other stuff that you know that's not right, just so that, you know, it's never right to do wrong and get a chance to do right. And you never should sacrifice your principles on the altar of persuasion. You want to be very careful. I am persuaded that neither life nor death nor principalities of power there. We need to be very careful how we walk and call. I want to talk to you about seven things, seven wishes the Apostle Paul had. Let's pray. Father, we do love you and we thank you for the time we have together. Lord, it's like coming home to Dad's house. Just coming home, sitting around the table and being able to just nibble at things and eat at things and enjoy and laugh and have a good time. Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight. Many people worked really hard this morning in church, getting up early with the buses and running here and there to get the kids in, and even some helping get them dressed. Dear God, now help us, Lord, as we sit back and listen to the Word of God. We put things away from us that we're thinking about for tomorrow and this week and having to do. May we just consider the Word of God tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When I have a guest speaker come in and preach for me here at Heritage, and I'm not familiar with them, I try real hard to know them, know everything about them that I can find out about them. I like to know their idiosyncrasies, their traits, their peculiarities, and boy, a lot of preachers got some real peculiarities. And so that when they come here to Heritage Baptist, I'm able to please them and make their stay a good time for them. There's a couple of preachers that we have in. They like Diet Coke, and they like Oreos, and they like cashew nuts. And you say, you even, yeah, I try real hard to find out what they like. And I've got a list on their phone number, on their phone underneath the notes. It tells them what they want. I could pull up a few and tell you about that. Kind of interesting. Dr. Hiles, he was a kind of interesting guy. Dr. Lee Robertson was very interesting. Fella. Joe Mark, he takes the cake. But anyway, Brother Willette, yes, Brother, we've had him in many times. We've had, Brother, Paul Chappell. He has very unique things he likes. And, I like to make him feel at home. I know that when Brother Lee Robertson was here, Brother Terry Ross was working, I think you're still working on bass, and he made him this magnificent, beautiful clock that I think he cut it out of plasma cutter. It was beautiful. And he just thought that was great. Dr. Joe Boyd, how many remember Dr. Joe Boyd, every time he came here, he wanted a pair of those real shiny shoes the Air Force guys wore. And so somebody that was in the Air Force buy him a pair of those shiny shoes. And he thought that was the greatest thing there was, you know. And all of us, I think some of us are, should have enough smarts in our brain to know certain things. The Bible says, know them that labor among you. And I think it's a good idea to know certain things that people have and they want. Well, that's exactly what Paul wanted to do. Paul the Apostle, he wanted to know the Lord Jesus Christ intimately. And he wanted to know how he was to be treated. And so I wrote down a few things in the Bible here. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. I wrote some things down in the Bible. No, I wrote down some things I found in the Bible. That's probably, I have not written the Bible. No. To know Christ. He said, I want to know Christ. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering being made conformable unto death. It was Paul's purpose in life to find everything out that he could about the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to study everything about Him and to appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ more. I know there are certain people that don't know a lot of people in our church. And by the way, I love Sunday night fellowships. That's when we come over and talk. Hey, listen, if you've been talking to the same people for the last 4 weeks, you've been over there eating, switch around. Go talk to somebody else. Amen. Go around. Get to know some of these people around our church. Hey, we've got some new families in our church. You need to get to know them. Get to know summer. Amen. I like to know summer. I don't want fall. I don't want winter. I don't want spring. I just want summer. Amen. But get to know summer. And get to know them. Get to know the Reeds. Get to know the Ortezes. Get to know the Walls. Get to know the Donahues. Get to know the Hobbs. Get to know these people around our church. Some of you don't know. And the more you know them, the more you appreciate them. Did you know that Ori rides a motorcycle? She's got a great big old Nomad Kawasaki motorcycle. And she drives a motorcycle. I'm impressed. Sorry, I think it's cool. Amen. And so you know, you get to know these people. Did you know that Carly has a horse? How many horses you got? Two horses. Amen. And she's good at it. Amen. And so you ought to know those things. You ought to know some people. And hey, brother, he used to break horses until one broke him. And you got to get to know him. Amen. And I didn't realize he went to Temple Baptist Church in Chattanooga. I didn't know that until today. What in the world? Hiding that all these times on me, amen. So, you know, we want to get to know each other. Well, the more you know some people, the more you love them. For the most part. I know I need to hold that for the most part. You know, the more you know them, the more you might want to not know them. I don't know. But you want to be careful about who your friends are. Amen. So he wanted to study everything about him to be more appreciative of his Savior. He begged the Holy Spirit to reveal all that he could to him so that he know the Christ. Why? So that he could be more like him. There are some Bibles, like this Bible here that I have. Some of my Bibles are all the words of Jesus Christ are written in red. How many have one of those Bibles with you tonight? Would you raise your hand? Good, good. Sometimes, one time I took my Bible like that, and all I did was just read the red letters. Amen. And just what Jesus said. I didn't read anything else. Just read what Jesus said. If they're in black, I wasn't going to read it. If they're in red, I was going to read it. I just want to read more about Jesus Christ. And secondly, Paul wished that he had a desire to win Christ. To win Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, rubbish, that I may win Christ. His desire was to be more like Jesus Christ. Paul, everything in his life, he said, revolved around Christ. Everything else was worthless to him. It was refuge. It was garbage. To win Christ was to win the approval of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but when I was a little boy, I always wanted to win approval of my mama. And I always wanted to win the approval of my father. I had a great desire. I know I got in a lot of trouble, but still, deep down inside, I always wanted my mama to love me and appreciate them. Now, you and I know as mamas, they're going to love you no matter what. But I had a desire to have her love me. I had a desire for my dad. I'd work hard. I mean, good night. I was a little 4 years old and started driving tractor. You said, I don't believe it. Well, that's okay. I'm not lying to you. But anyway, I drove tractor when I was 4 years old. I was just about five, but I was 4 years old, drove tractor. I worked on that farm day after day after day after day. You say, well, did you get remunerated for it? Yeah, I got a wonderful place to live. I got a wonderful bed to sleep in. I got wonderful food to eat. And once in a while, my dad let me use the 53 Chevy, amen. I just thought that's what you were supposed to do. My dad said jump, and I jumped and asked him how high when he told me to do. Amen. I'd ride a tractor. My Aunt Mabel, some of you knew her, Dr. Streeter's mom. I would drive the tractor, and back in those days, there was nothing such a thing as air conditioned on tractors. There was nothing such a thing as even a. I remember the first time we got an umbrella for our tractor. Remember that, Scott? Hey, it had the big yellow John Deere on it. Probably worth a lot of money today if I had it. But, man, that didn't come until I was a senior in high school. But, man, I remember driving that old tractor, and my hands would just get dark. You see how my face is starting to get, my complexion is starting to get dark. And as summer goes, it'll get darker and darker and darker and darker. Well, anyway, driving that tractor like this, I'm going to tell you something. My hands just got almost black. It is dark, reddish black. And my Aunt Mabel had me over to her house one time, and she scrubbed my knuckles until they started to bleed. She said, I'm going to get them things clean. Man, they're not dirty. Man. So I drove tractor a lot, amen. One time I thought I'd get me a nice tan, and so I ripped a pair of blue jean shorts and got on that tractor, drove all day. Oh, yeah, I took the shirt off, too. I can, but, you know, I'm not that. My skin is not that tough, and I burned. Veronica, that beautiful blouse you have on, that's about the color my back was. And my legs. And I went to my grandma's. We called her Gaga. She didn't want to be called Grandma because Grandma made her sound old. So we called her Gaga. Yeah, I got a weird family, so does you. And I burned myself. I said, Gaga, I said, I'm dying. Oh, she said, honey. She always called me honey. Honey, I'll fix that for you. She brought out. Anybody know what she brought out? I smell like a pickle. She brought out vinegar. and poured it all over me. Oh, did that feel good? I mean, wow, that felt good for first 5 minutes. And then I need some more vinegar. Amen. I guess you do have to turn to pickles when you're pickling. Amen. And, boy, oh, boy. If I don't get melanoma, I don't know who would ever get it. But I'll tell you, I burned my back so bad and burned my legs so bad, I thought, tell you, I didn't want to talk to nobody. Amen. You said, did you get your tan? Yeah. You know how stupid kids are? I went out there, and after that got over, I started again. Amen. You said, how'd you do? Pretty good. Pretty good. Now, Paul the Apostle, he said, I just want to know Christ. He said, I want to win the approval of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like I wanted to win the approval of my mom and dad. When I was playing football in high school and college, I wanted to win the approval of my coach. If I ever did anything wrong when I was doing something, I'd literally cry. Big old 6 foot, 210-pound football player. That old coach looked at me in the face and said, Sherry, what's wrong with you? You say, why? Because I love the game so much and I wanted to please him. And if you don't please your coach, you ain't playing. Y'all figure that out, amen? And I love playing football so much. I love playing football so much. I met a young lady named Marcia. And I fell in love with her. And for over 40-some years, I've tried to please her. I want to win the approval of her. I don't deserve her. But you know what greater than that? I want to win the approval of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no one that I want to satisfy more. There's no one that I want to bring... I want to hear that day someday, well done, my good and faithful servant. I want to hear that. I really do. Paul said everything else is garbage. Just to win Christ's approval. The tumults and the opposition may constrain a Christian to remove him from his station or alter his purpose, but his work and his pleasure will be the same no matter what. I was thinking about this last week. You know, problems come in all our lives. Marcia, you got two girls back there going to keep you straight. I was thinking of this. No matter what comes at you, the troubles and sorrows that come at you, they're going to come at you. You either enjoy the ride, well, you yell and scream all the way there, but you all going. You tell the kid to get in the car. He said, no, I don't want to. Well, get in the car. I don't want to. Get in the car. And they get in the car. And they can yell and scream all the way. But guess what? They're going for the ride. I always tell families, you know, when your kid gets a little about 10, 12, 13 years old, and they start wanting to do things that you don't want them to do, get them in the car, take them to Helena, take them to Billings. They can't get away from you. And number two, a lot of cell coverage is not there. And after a while, they'll have to like it. You know, you can go through this life, which is very, very difficult in some ways. How many found that out? Anybody found that out yet? This life is very difficult. You can either go and say, now, Lord, I don't understand this. And, Lord, I'll be honest with you, I didn't ask for this. But you saw fit in your perfect providence to allow this, so therefore, I'm going for the ride and I'm going to smile all the way. Now, when you smile, I've seen people laugh so hard they cry. So why can't you cry so hard you laugh? I just made that up, but all of us are going to have problems. All of us are going to go through some stuff. All of us are going to be disappointed by a relationship, and we're going to be disappointed by a friend. We're going to be disappointed. Good night, David said, my own familiar friends that sat at my table and ate with me have turned on me. But that didn't stop David, did it? He just kept on going. And sometimes in this life, we just got to keep on going. Paul the Apostle said, you know what? all the trouble, all the torment, all the torment that I have been. He says, you know what? It's going to be okay. Paul thought the worthwhile to bestow 5 days of going to Troas, though it had been 7 days stay there. But he knew, so then he went and redeemed even journey time and made it turn to some kind of account. Listen to what he said. But none of these things move me. Neither I count my life dear unto myself. Here's your problem. Some of us are so proud of us. And this life is so dear to us that we miss out on God's blessing. God, I'm going to trust you in this thing. God, I don't know what's going on in my life. I don't know. I thought that this is what was going to be, and I thought that I thought we'd be doing this, but I'm not doing that. I'm doing this. I thought that I'd be running, but I'm in a hospital. I thought that I'd be I thought I'd be doing this, but I'm in a wheelchair. I thought I'd be doing this, but now I'm in a walker. They tell me now I've got to get out of my home and I've got to go live someplace with somebody else that I don't want to do. Did you ever think that maybe God knew what was going on and you didn't? The principal thing is to know God. And the principal thing is that I am going to follow God no matter what. Troubles come, sorrows come, okay. Yes, they hurt. Don't tell me that it didn't hurt when they stoned old Paul. Don't tell me that it didn't hurt when they whipped him 3 times. 39 times. Don't tell me that didn't hurt. Don't tell me that when his best friends and everything despised him. Don't tell me when John Mark was out there and Barnabas and old John Mark took off home and they had to carry all that other. Don't tell me there wasn't some grumbling going on. What do you mean? They said they were going to help me. He promised he was going to help me. How can this be? I don't. What in the world? The idiot taking off? Are you kidding me? I think also Paul says he is losing the blessings of God upon his life. That's what most pastors believe. They'll say when a child of God walks away from doing what they should do, that man of God, the first thing he thought, boy, he's missing out on the greatest things of life. Stay with it, folks. Good night. If you gotta duct tape yourself to that saddle, get to hang on and duct tape yourself to the saddle. One of the few times I wish I would have duct taped myself to that saddle. Amen. He said, none of these things move me. Acts chapter 20, verse 24, if you're taking notes. Neither count I my life dear unto myself so that I might finish my course with... with what?
Joy.
Finish my course with joy. I see a lot of people are not very joyful. Gripe. Boy, I tell you what, you get old. I heard when you get old, the grouchier you get. I don't want to be grouchy. I don't want to be cantankerous. I want to be very careful that I don't do it. I want to have a smile on my face, a lift in my step, and a twinkle in my eye, and I want people to say, what's he up to? I want people to be happy when I'm around. I want to smile. They say, I don't know if this is true or not, they say Davy Crockett could look up at a tree and grin. No, it was Daniel Boone. That was Daniel Boone. He could grin so hard and so bright, he'd knock a coon right out of the tree. That's what they say. I don't know. You know them Tennessee people. So that I might finish the course with joy. Finish. You don't win a game in the first quarter. You don't win the game in the second quarter. You don't win the game in the third quarter. You win the game at the last second of the game. The fourth quarter. I look at some of you people, you just stepped into the fourth quarter of your life. You didn't win yet. Game ain't over yet. How many watched that softball game yesterday with Auburn and can't think of the softball? Man, it went to the 10th inning. It was just crazy. I mean, it was crazy. I told Marcia, I said, right, no, she said, I'm watching the game. Yeah. Game ain't over. Until the referee blows the whistle or the gun goes off, you're not done yet. I want to finish with joy. Yeah, I cry a lot. I cry. I can boo-hoo like the rest of you. Sometimes I'm not as happy as I should be, but I have joy in my heart knowing that my God knows everything about it. He said, I want to finish the course with joy and the ministry, which I have received the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed unto us. That's a promise to us. 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I have determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, what is the length, what is the depth, what is the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Boy, there's so much to it, folks. There's so many people just wasting their time whining and griping and complaining, finding somebody to get on their side, finding somebody that agrees with them. Oh, yeah. Hello. Come on. I ain't stupid. Maybe dumb, but I ain't stupid. A lot of people out there just wasting time. Finding somebody that agrees with them. Third, Paul wished to magnify Christ. Philippians 1:20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be life or by death. Dear God, the problems that come to me, I just want to glorify you. I hear people say, how can you do that? I don't know. Just step by step. Being an old football fullback from college, they told me, put your head down, drive three steps as hard as you can, knees pounding as almost as high as your helmet, and then look. And so I've learned that through my years, that sometimes you just got to put your head down and go as fast as you can and look up and hope there's daylight. Amen. Anybody that's ever been playing football, you understand what daylight is. Woo! You got to be a football hero to get along with a beautiful girl. That's what they told me. That was one of Fanny Crosby's old songs. Amen. But anyway, I'm kidding. But there's just something about seeing the light. Sometimes some of you will never see the light of your life. You'll always be wondering and say, well, I wonder why God did that. I wonder why this has happened to me. I wonder why God has given me this. Or I wonder why God took that away from me. I wonder why this and that and this and that. I wonder why my baby died. I wonder why this baby lived. I wonder why this and that and that. And, you know, why did my husband have to leave me? Why did my wife have to leave me? Why? What? You know, some of you will never know. Some of you never know. And sometimes, by good, we don't know. But when it comes down to your personal life, when you say, Lord, here I am. Use me to glorify yourself. You know what God says? That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. Years ago, there was a football coach, very, very well-known football coach. And if I named him, some of you guys would know him. And he was going out scouting in the spring. And some of the schools had spring football practice. And so he heard that there was going to be a scrimmage. And he took one of his players with him who wanted to be a coach someday. And so he's there, and he was asking the coach all kinds of questions. And in fact, he was bothering the coach almost to death. He couldn't get nothing done and written down. He just asked him all kinds of questions. And so got to the game. Game started. And all of a sudden, boom, this guy come down, and he tackled this guy. And he wrote the name number down. The kid did. Tackled him. And next deal, that guy tackled him. And next guy tackled him. And he just wrote, and he said, "Coach, I know who you're gonna talk to. The guy that tackled those guys." And the coach says, "No, I'm not." He says, "Why not?" He said, "I'm gonna pick number 23." Do you know how many times he was tackled, but how he got up? He just kept getting up. And he said, "That's the guy our team is after. Not that guy knocking him down. The guy that keeps getting up and keep getting up and keep getting up." You know, God's looking for some of you guys to just keep getting up. A righteous man falls how many times? Seven times. Some of you have been knocked down quite a few times in your life. Some of you have had a lot of disappointments in your life. Some of you have had disappointments when you're growing up with maybe your father and mother left or whatever. Some of you have had disappointments when grandma died or grandpa died or dad left home or something. And some of you have disappointments of not getting the job you thought, quote unquote, you should have. And some of you were disappointed by the strike that you didn't get that you deserved, and somebody else got it, and on and on and on and on and on. You know what? God's just looking for people to get back up. He's just looking for people to get back up. He's looking for a soul winner that may not win a soul every week, but he's looking for that soul winner who's always out there, always representing the Lord Jesus Christ. He's looking for that Sunday school teacher that doesn't seem like she has a flair in her Sunday school class, and seemed like, but she's always there, and the preacher never has to worry of whether if they're going to be on time or not. That's who God gives up the ribbons to, amen. Some of the people that do things for God, you won't even know. They quietly do those things. Paul the Apostle said, "Oh, that I can magnify the Lord Jesus Christ according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be life or by death." I want to die! I remember when I was up at the sheriff's office a long time ago, and Sheriff Castle was the sheriff then, and we were talking about death, and I said, "Well, I said, I'll tell you what, Sheriff, I'm not scared to die. Thank God I get to go to heaven someday." He said, "Not me." I said, "What do you mean not you?" He said, "I'm going to scream and yell like a little girl, man, when I'm dying, amen. I want to die." And Paul the Apostle said, "Hey, either life or death, I'm going to glorify the God. I would hate to be a disappointment to my Lord and Savior." In my prayer list, I'll pray many times, "Dear God, don't let me be a disappointment to the gospel. Don't let me trouble the waters of this world to see a man of God falling. Oh God, please keep me from that." To magnify him was to honor him. The Greek word is megaono. It means to enlarge, to show great, to make it conspicuous, to deem, to declare great, preach about the great God Almighty, to esteem highly, to extol, to laud, to celebrate, to get glory, to praise. David understood that when he said in Psalm 34:3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." The fourth thing he wanted was to be conformed to Christ, that I may know him. Philippians 3:10, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made more conformable, being made conformable unto his death. It was a continual process. No mere resemblance, but the same thing as a seamstress has a pattern of the dress, or the machinists have a blueprint of the part that they were building. They wanted it in an exact copy. The blueprints of the house to be constructed, that all that are kept the pattern and not veer off an inch. The deep inner, the real conformity crucified by Christ is called the making the mold. Jesus Christ is the mold. We're to fit in that mold. You say, I can't do it. Yes, you can. Holy Spirit said we can. I am crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He said, listen, I have to keep dying to this old self. I have to keep dying to the world. Boy, there's so much stuff out there that I like to have. There's so much stuff that I like to do. But Paul the Apostle said, hey, I found out something. It's not what I want. It's what he wants. When I was growing up, I thought I was going to be a firefighter and a deputy sheriff and a farmer and I was like, well, God had for me, and I found out when I was about 21 years old that that's not what we're supposed to do. I found that out in a class of preacher boys. We're sitting there, and the professor was talking about, hey, it's not what you want in your life, it's what God wants in your life. That's why God can't. Boy, he just let her rip one class. And I said, good night. Does that mean I can't do those things? And the more I studied it, the more I realized that my life is not my own. It's Christ. I'll be honest with you. I got to do a lot of those things being a preacher. In Delavan, Minnesota, I was assistant fire chief. I was the president of 200 firefighters and a firefighter association. If I want to, I can put on my uniform and go up to Cathay County Sheriff's Office and tell one of those deputies, hey, let's ride. And some of them crazy enough think that I can arrest people. I can arrest people. I'm a chaplain. You say, but preacher. Yeah, I know. That's right there. You know what that means? I can pray for my deputies. That's all it means. Sure looks nice in a billfold, don't it? Drive fast, hey. But anyway, supposed to do that. Wouldn't show it. Says, well, you ought to know better than that. That's right, amen. Somebody said, hey, I was stopped by somebody and they said they knew me. I said, you didn't tell them you knew me. Yeah. You get a ticket? Yeah. Good. Paul had a desire so bad to say, I will conform. Let me tell you something. You listen to me. You listen to this old preacher. You listen to me now. Are you listening? I've been a preacher almost 50 years now. I've never had so much fun in my whole life. I've never had so much family and friends in my whole life as I have been as a pastor. He said, but preacher, you work hours and hours. Well, that's not work. That's my life. My life. God has given me this privilege to be a man of God. Are you kidding me? What a thrill it is to hear little boys and little girls say, hey, preacher. Hey, pastor. I love hearing that. He says, hard work? Yeah. You cry a lot? Oh, yeah. I cry a lot. The Bible said, weep with those who weep. Laugh with those who laugh. I like to be around more laughers than weepers, but, you know. Paul the Apostle got it. I'm just trying to get it. I'm trying to fit into that mold. By the way, I don't care if you're a carpet salesman or a carpenter or a dishwasher, or a plumber, or a painter. All of us are required to fit into that form. I don't know about you, but when I used to go buy my wife clothes, I'd come in and sit down and she'd bring them out. That's all I'd say. And she'd have 10, 15 dresses. And I says, well, go put them on. Let me see them. And we had quite a good relationship. So if I said, she just put it away. She wouldn't gripe, complain. I'm glad that the people that were making them stayed with the pattern and made that dress beautiful instead of all over the place. You know what? There's a lot of Christians like that today. Their lives look like something just, you know, they put an arm here and a leg here and a nose, you know, back here and their eye on this side. That's the way some of you look to God. You're not in His pattern. Paul wished that he had desire to find Christ. Philippians 3:9, he says, to be found in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is the law. Paul could say that. I couldn't say that. Paul could say that. He knew exactly how to live the law. Ever since he was a little child, he was taught the law of the Jewish people, the Hebrew people. And he said this, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is in the law, but that which is through the faith in Christ, the righteousness which is in God by faith. Not by my own righteousness, but by my faith. Paul said that he wanted to seek the Lord's righteousness, not his own righteousness. Boy, there are a lot of people like that today. Well, look at me. Well, whoop-dee-doo-doo-doo. A lot of people kind of crazy about that. Said, well, you know, I like when, I think it was D.L. Moody, a little lady came up to him and says, well, what do you think of my life? He says, ma'am, your life thunders so loud I can't hear a word you're saying. Your life thunders so loud I can't hear a word you're saying. Here's what the Greek word, hiorisko, which means after searching, to find a thing sought, to find by inquiry, thought, examination, scrutiny, observation. That's like I was telling you last couple of weeks ago. I says, some of you guys went out and got married and you went and bought a Cracker Jack box and you thought you had the best prize inside of it and you opened up, it wasn't very good. He said, listen, Paul said, I want to seek. I want to search. I want all scrutiny, observation. I want to see how I can be better for God. It reminds me of the old country speaker who was bragging on God for the Holy Spirit unction and power. And he said, oh God. He said, I don't know what it is, but I know what it's not. He's just begging God for the unction of the Holy Spirit of God. I don't know about you, I get that way sometimes. Oh, God. I don't know what it is, but I know what it's not. I want to know what it's all about. I want to set myself to find out. I had to find out by practice and experience and learn and discover and understand to get knowledge to come to God to find out for oneself. That's what I need to do. That's what all of us need to do. Paul said, I got to find it out. I'm going to ask people questions. I'm going to talk to preachers. I'm going to talk to theologians. I'm going to try everybody I can to find out, hey, what is this all about? I'm going to read my Bible. Sixth, Paul said, I wish that I rejoice in the day of Christ. Holding forth the word, Philippians chapter 2:16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Boy, it'd be a sad day if all the things that I, quote unquote, didn't do or gave up and find out this is a bunch of baloney. That's what Paul says. He said, I don't want to run in vain. I don't want to labor in vain. Read what he did. 2 Corinthians. All the things he did. And he said, to find out, he says, no, I want to rejoice in the day of Christ. And then lastly, he said, to be with Christ. Philippians 1:23, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having desired to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Hey, you want to glorify God in life or in death? That's our desire. And Lord, I just want to do what you want me to do. I just want to be what you want to be. That ought to be your prayer tonight. That ought to be the thing. So, you know what? This is what I want to do for God. I promise you, all those little pipe dreams you have and all those little things about you being the leaders and you being the most wonderful person and this and that, it's all nothing if Jesus Christ is not the head of it all. It's worthless. I mean, I saw a bumper sticker a while back that says, he who dies with most toys win. That's a lie. I got a garage full of toys. I don't even use them. I know you do. We were coming to church tonight, and she looked at that brand new motorcycle there and says, she was getting on the thing. I said, maybe tomorrow. Not right now, honey. I got a brand new motorcycle. Had it 3 years. I got 5,000 miles on it. That's all I got on it. That's all I got on it. You say, why? Doesn't mean that much to me. You know what means much to me? Take care of that little lady back there. Being a pastor. That's what it means to me. Shoot. You say, oh, but if I just have that. Oh, that's baloney. I had a man back in Delavan, Minnesota, my first church, First Baptist Church, Delavan, Minnesota. Delavan Baptist Church and Delavan, Minnesota. And he was a guy who always had the new stuff. Snowmobiles came out, he had the new Polaris. Oh, man. He ran that thing about a month, that was it. He just put it in the garage. He had this, he had to put it away. He had to have all these guns. Well, good are they? Well, the situation you need to do is to glorify your Heavenly Father. It's not wrong to have nice things. And by the way, it's not wrong to keep your things nice. It's not wrong to have them. But when they become your gods, and you get that brand new trailer, and all of a sudden Sundays are important for camping instead of for church. And that motorcycle is more important than that bus route. And that four-wheeler is more important than that Sunday school lesson. And that new pickup is more important than Wednesday night. And that new fishing pole is more important, and on and on and on. Then you got a problem. Then you got a problem. And you'll know when you get a problem with it. You will. But sometimes it's too late. I beg you to check over these seven things that he wished. It will make you a greater Christian. Paul didn't miss out on a lot of stuff, a lot of things he got to do in his life. Wonderful things he got to do in life. But along with that came in a lot of problems and heartaches and sorrows and troubles. But he just kept saying, hey, you know what? I trust God. I was studying the word hope I wish I would have put it on my iPad. And I wrote a bunch of things down about hope. But hope is not just a puff of smoke. Hope is, I know because of the proof of things that have happened, and I see God's hand in it, therefore, I have a hope in heaven someday. That's proof. So, oh, I hope I go to heaven. No, I have a hope of heaven. That's the difference. That's really big. I don't, well, I hope I make it. I talked to a guy the other day, and he in fact, I let him Lord. And I said to him, I says, something about heaven. He said, boy, I hope. This is what he said, and it made me just cringe. I hope the big man in heaven lets me come. What have you been listening to? What do you mean you hope? I have taken the word of God to him, and I've showed him 1 John 1:9. If we can, 1 John 5:10. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. 5:13. I've just poured it to him. And the other day he says, "Well, I'll do, man. The big man in heaven lets me come in when it's time." I want to jack slap him to tomorrow, but I will have my opportunity. And this week, would you pray? Because I'm going to have me a talk with him, and I'm going to say, "Don't you ever call him the big man of heaven. Because I'm flipped out mad at you, boy. You're using God's name in vain." And secondly, it's a true hope. It's fastened on the pillars and the foundation of the Word of God. When God said, "I'll save you," he'll save you. Boy, just good night. "These things have I written unto you that ye may know." Not hope, think, wish. But no, the hope is because I know so, therefore I have this great hope. We've used that word so many times, we've kind of messed it up. Father, I pray tonight that you speak to our hearts. Oh, my. Lord, I feel so humbled when I read the scriptures of what Paul said. Lord, I just want to be more. And I want these dear people of Heritage Baptist Church more like you. Oh, God, that they'd take the Word of God and they'd eat it as bread of life, and they'd chew it and get it to the point in their life that they could think of it all the time, from morning to noon to night. God, make this book our life. May we be men of the book, ladies of the book, boys of the book, girls of the book. And then, Lord God, I pray that we'd be more like you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Here tonight, say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I'd sure like to know that." Why don't you right now invite Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Trust in him to do right. Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts now as we stand for this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I'd sure like to know that today." Why don't you come right now? Why don't you come invite Jesus Christ to be your Savior? "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven." Hey, that's the most important thing you'll ever do in your life. Maybe you're here tonight and say, "Preacher, you know, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and Believer's Baptism. Why don't you come and get that taken care of?" Maybe you're here today and say, "Preacher, we want to join this church. This is where we want to be a part of. Why don't you come at this time?" God spoke to you tonight about
be more like Him. Hope God spoke to you about getting into the mold, finding what that mold is, and be willing to serve God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. The people may say, there's just something different about that person. I don't understand them, but there's something different about them. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray You'd speak to our hearts tonight. Thank You for tonight. Thank You for the time we've had together. Now, Lord, I pray You'd bless the food and the refreshment we're about to eat. Thank You for our church. Thank You for our people that continue to serve You and want to serve You even better. Oh, God, may we be more like You every day. Thank You for Your presence tonight. Thank You for working a work in us. Lord, now bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.